Today's reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. A call to persevere in faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Thanks be to God.
Well, hello, St. Nick's, and greetings to anyone else who's joining us. Do you remember what it was like right at the beginning of lockdown? Do you remember the speed of change in the course of only a few weeks? At church, we went from deciding to distribute only bread at communion and not to shake hands in the peace, to closing our doors for the foreseeable future. And all in the space of just 2 Sundays. At 1 minute, life was carrying on as pretty much normal. And then suddenly we were all shut up at home, cut off from friends and family, allowed out only once a day, if at all. It was a profound shock. I have here our family butter dish. It has a chip on it. From when we dropped it at the tea time back in March, when we realised that Clara had a cough and we were going to need to entirely isolate all 6 of us for 2 weeks. It was not a good tea time. And little did we know back then how long it was all going to last. You may have watched the opening song in this online service. It was one of the early ones that we produced back in the spring. The pictures going along with the words and the music are all of spring flowers, daffodils and blossom. And that was 2 seasons ago. We're now in the autumn. On the first Sunday of lockdown, Joy preached from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold on to hope. Let us not give up meeting together. Joy delivered her sermon in church. Back then, at that stage, clergy were still allowed in their churches, although not for very long. And she preached it to a congregation of 2 people, her daughter Beth and Andy Cooper, who was managing the recording. I remember listening to it with Ellen at about 10 a.m. that Sunday morning at our kitchen table, feeling very disorientated. And we're returning to the same passage today. We've had 6 months or so of restrictions, and it's now clear that we're looking ahead to at least another 6 months of the same. So this feels like a bit of a halfway point, though obviously we don't really know. And therefore it feels right to return to where we started and remind ourselves of some of the encouragements of Hebrews chapter 10. We're also at the beginning of a sermon series on worship, worship in 3D, as Joy mentioned in her welcome at the beginning of this service. And we're doing this because our corporate worship is likely to keep changing as restrictions keep changing, as we start live streaming, we hope in just a couple of weeks. And yet despite all of these changes, and we hope improvements as we go along, it's going to continue to be so different to normal for a long while yet. And so it feels important to remind ourselves of what corporate worship is all about and why it matters. Over these 3 weeks, we will be thinking about worship as a discipline, a delight, and a destination, 3Ds. And this Sunday, it's discipline. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, is really the go-to passage for thinking about the vital importance of the discipline of gathering together as God's people for corporate worship. To be blunt, this sermon is about the importance of coming to church. However, I realise that I'm preaching it to people in very different circumstances. Some of us will be gathering this Sunday on site at church at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. If you're watching this, presumably you're watching it from home. There will be others reading the transcript of this sermon that we've delivered to them. Not all of us are able or feel ready to come to church, and therefore church has come to you. And for those of us who are gathering at church on site, it is still very, very different. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25, contains a series of exhortations, a series of let us's. Let us draw near to God, verse 22. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, verse 23. Let us consider how we may spur one another on, verse 24. And then in verse 25, there are two other phrases that we can include under this let us heading. Let us not give up meeting together, and let us encourage one another. That's five let us's. And to those five, I'm going to add two more as we think about our corporate worship in our current circumstances in the light of this passage. So two more let us's. Let us be realistic. And let us resolve. Firstly, let us be realistic. Let us be realistic about what it's like coming to church at the moment. There have, of course, been unexpected blessings that have come from our recent experience of Sunday services. We have been regularly thanked for the services and the sermons that we've produced over the last months. Thank you for your thank yous. We've discovered fresh creativity and new skills in moving church online. There's been an excitement, a novelty that has come from doing church in such new and different ways, especially back in those early days at the beginning of lockdown. And it does seem that the church in general, not just St Nick's Church, but around the country and beyond, the church in general has done a great job of adapting so quickly and so creatively. It's been exciting to be a part of. All of that is true. But alongside all that, let's be honest about where it has not been that great. The times when it's been incredibly lonely sitting down to watch a video service on your own. Or the times when it's been incredibly chaotic trying to get your young family to behave and to concentrate and to get something, just something, out of church in your sitting room. Or the times when it's been boring. I've said that I've received many encouraging comments and emails from people over the last 6 months, for which I'm very grateful. But obviously no one emails me to tell me about the time that you lost interest and stopped the service halfway through. Or the time you gave up trying to get your children to engage with what was going on and sat them down in front of an episode of Peppa Pig instead. Or the time you decided to go to another church online with more exciting or engaging services. Or the times you just didn't bother that Sunday. I'm not trying to be unduly negative, and certainly this is no criticism of anyone. I've been there myself. My family have been living through the same times as you have and reacting in just the same ways. It has been wonderful for some of us to be able to meet on site in recent months, but let's be realistic about that too. As some of you will have found it an uplifting experience, thank you for where you've said that, but others I know have found it isolating, upsetting, unmoving, cold. Again, I don't want to be unduly negative at all. I simply want to be realistic about what the last 6 months have been like for all of us, and realistic about what the next 6 months are going to be like. Because the novelty of all this has well and truly worn off by now for most people. And we're still not going to be able to meet together in a normal way for a long time. So it's not great. And the main thing that I want to say is that none of this should be a surprise. Our passage today describes the vital importance for Christians of gathering together. The focus of the passage is corporate. Three of the five let us's can only be done together. Let us encourage one another. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. The first two can, of course, be done individually. We can draw near to God and hold on to hope on our own in private prayer. But the thrust of this passage is about doing these things together. These things are essential for our faith to flourish as we gather together. And if you'll excuse me for stating the very obvious, we have not been able to meet together in any kind of normal way for over half a year now. So it should not be a surprise if our experience of church recently has been disappointing, or if our faith has suffered as a result. In fact, it would be surprising if that were not the case. The theologian Andrew Wilson was interviewed recently, and he was asked about the impact of COVID-19 and lockdown on his spiritual life. And he said, if the Bible is true, which I think it is, he said, I would expect it to have cost me spiritually not to meet as church. I'd expect not having communion, not having corporate prayer, not having corporate singing to take a huge toll on my spiritual life. And it has. He went on to say, if you take the gathered church away for 6 months, the individuals within the church should feel it. And I think we have. It has not been the best 6 months for me spiritually, he said. And I would have been surprised if it had been. I would almost be concerned if the church had been taken away for 6 months and I thought I'm doing better than ever. Now, it may be that you do feel you've grown spiritually through this time. I hope that the different ways that we have been able to continue our weekly services have helped you to draw near to God, verse 25, to hold on to hope, verse 26, and that they have spurred you on to love and good deeds and encourage you to keep going, verse 24. My prayer for all of us through this time is that we will have grown deeper in spiritual disciplines, and that we will have learned to trust God in new ways. As I preached 2 weeks ago, God is a God of redemption. He is able to use all circumstances for good. Nothing is wasted. All that is true. But we should be realistic about the impact of not being able to gather together normally. Our fellowship has been impaired, and it will continue to be like this for some time to come. And it should be no surprise that this has and will cost us. Let's be realistic. Secondly, let us resolve not to give up meeting together, even at this strange time and in these strange ways. You may think, I'm trying to protect my job. Please keep up your commitment to St. Nick's, otherwise there's going to be no one left when we finally get back to normal and I'll be out of work. Now, hopefully you think better of me than that. I'm not trying to keep my job. I'm trying to care for your soul. Now, if there were a camera operator here with me, this is the moment that he or she would zoom in on my face so that you could look into my eyes and I could look carefully into your soul. Unfortunately, it's just me and a tripod and my camera and some gaffer tape. So instead, I'll just look intently at you. When a bishop inducts a new vicar into a parish, now one of the things they say is this. They say, receive this cure or care of souls, which is both yours and mine. It's a very solemn charge. Now, obviously, unfortunately, I'm not the only person in charge of your soul. But if you're a member of St. Nick's, then the Bible tells me that I do have an important part to play, a serious part. The book of Hebrews has a very serious purpose. It was written to Christians who were in great danger. They were in danger of drifting away from their faith in Jesus Christ. This was for a number of reasons, including the threat of persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews writes to encourage the Christians to keep going, verse 19 and 20, to have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, to draw near to God through Jesus, to hold on to hope, and so on. He writes to encourage them and to warn them about the consequences of giving up. And in fact, the verses following on from our reading today, verses 26 onwards, contain some of the starkest warnings in Scripture, alongside some of the words of Jesus in the Gospels, some of the starkest warnings about the dangers of turning away from God and His grace shown to us in Jesus. And one of the temptations for these struggling Christians was to give up gathering together. And that's not surprising. Under the threat of persecution, it's much easier to escape notice if you avoid meeting together with other Christians. Our passage today is full of encouragements to keep going and to keep meeting. It's a very positive passage. But let's be clear, when the writer says, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, it is a serious call. It's not just saying simply, come on everyone, rally round. This matters deeply for the health of your soul. It is essential for our faith. None of this is to urge you to come back to our church building. If you are not able to, or you're not ready, or you don't feel it's safe, or you're vulnerable, none of it is to say that. Of course, we long for the day when we will all be able to return. Until then, some of us will join in from home as best we can, and it won't be the same. And it's not going to be the same at church on site either. Who knows when we're going to be able to sing again, or to chat to one another over coffee at the end of the service, or to begin prayer ministry, or to welcome newcomers properly. Despite the best efforts of everyone, and despite the good things that we have and that we will learn in the coming months, we are severely hampered in our fellowship. Let's be realistic. But let us resolve not to give up meeting together, even in these imperfect ways. If we are to remain healthy as Christians and as a church, if we are to draw near to God and to hold on to hope and to spur one another on, then not meeting is not an option. We're going to finish by listening to a recording of the hymn Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It's the one that we made for that first Sunday of lockdown. Joy sang it with her daughter Beth, and Andy Cooper played the guitar. I remember listening to it at my kitchen table with Ellen at about 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and being profoundly moved. In fact, I don't think I'll ever be able to hear it or sing it again without remembering that Sunday and all the subsequent Sundays between then and now and the ones to come. Let's be realistic about what it's been like and what it will be like. But let's resolve. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Amen.